Hey, take your Bibles or devices, and we are back still in the book of James, and we're going to read from James chapter 1, just 19 to 21. James chapter 1, 19 to 21, and here it goes. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Your word has been settled in heaven for all eternity. It's the same. It never changes. It's never diluted. It's never polluted. It's never diluted. It is true. It is the way. It is rock solid. It stands the test of time. And when everything else fades away and it's burned down to a crisp, your word stands forever. And that's why we trust your word, Lord, because your word is based on your character and your nature for us. And when we look at your character and nature, you are good. You are gracious. You are filled with glory. You are great. We thank you for your word that comes into our hearts and renews us, transforms us. By your word, we have transformation and renewal of our mind. All the old mindsets are gone. We've been given the very mind of Christ, and we thank you for that. Because we no longer look through the perception and perspective of this world with eyes of flesh. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith in your eternal word that stands true. We will always preach the word of God. It is inerrant. It is the authoritative word of God. In faith and conduct, conversation for our lives, our very behavior, our attitude, our affections, and we trust your word. And today, Lord, we pray for me, for this body, that you would speak to us the word of truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger, I had this ploy so as not to listen to my mom. And young people, this is a lesson of don't do what I had done, okay? So when I was younger, mom would yell out, Danny, Danny, like that. And I knew when she spoke in a certain tone that it was always something that I had to do, you know, okay? So when she yelled down from the kitchen, Danny, and I had this methodology of just staying real silent and not answering. Thinking that maybe she'd give up. Danny! Danny! But all the time, she made her way down the steps, found where I was, and usually it included the rod of correction or the hand of correction, some form of correction, that when mama called, I was to listen. Snap to it. And for my kids, now that I see when my wife, who is mother of my children, when she calls out, I find that our children have learned the same ploys and maybe yours as well. The problem is that when my wife calls out, there's still a tendency for me to stay quiet. Right? Stay quiet. And she always finds me out and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? This passage of scripture we just read is interesting because it says, be quick to listen. And it's referring to the word of truth in the previous verse. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of what? The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. We should be the first in his creation. To live out this glory and wonder of his character and nature in our lives. And know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen. Snap to it. The Bible instructs us that, like that old commercial, some of you older folk would probably know this one. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen, right? See, for the believer and the follower of Christ, unlike me with my mom, we need to be keen to the voice of God. That when he calls and when he speaks, we snap to it. We run up the steps and we meet him where he is and we say, yes, God, what do you need? What would you like? What are you trying to speak to me? What are you trying to say to me? And if there's ever been a time in this day and age where we need to be quick to listen to the word of God, it is now, because things are happening all over the cosmos. Even creation is groaning for redemption. The world is groaning for redemption. Prophetic things are happening even as we speak, moving towards the end of days, to the last days when Christ will come again and take us home to be with him. But the Bible speaks about tough, tough times coming our way. Tough, tough times. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, 24, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Take care. Take heed to what you are listening to. We have so many voices and arguments and speculations that flood our ears and our heart with error, with deceit, with deception. And the loudest voice in the room oftentimes is what we hear and what we adhere to. But that still small voice is speaking to us. Amen? We need to get through the clutter of all the voices, of all the noise, of all the arguments and speculations that speak about this world and speak to our flesh, speak to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and hear that still small voice of Jesus speaking to us, come to me. Amen? Come to me. Come back to God. Quick to listen. Pay attention to what you hear. So what have you been listening to this week that has brought deception into your life, that has brought fear into your life, that's brought anxiety into your life, that's brought a question of the character and nature of God in your life this week? What have you been listening to? Because the devil has a loud mouth. And the Bible says that when he speaks, his native language is lying. It's deception. It's deceit. His first native language is lying. But through the media and through this world system and our culture, academics, politics, institutions, and organizations, we realize that there is a speaking of error, falsity, and it weighs us down, doesn't it? And then what about all the voices that you've heard over the years in your life telling you what you were supposed to become, how you were supposed to feel, that maybe you were a loser, maybe you'd never measure up, maybe you'd be this or you'd be that? Quick to listen to the Spirit of God speaking to your life and to mine so that we listen. Pay attention to what you hear. If it's something that is against the knowledge of God and the word of truth, you take those thoughts captive and say, that is error. Amen? You call it out for what it is and you destroy it. The Bible speaks about our mission and our responsibility to destroy strongholds in our emotions, in our mind, and in our heart. We destroy them, not by our willpower, or our good looks, or our charm, or our education, or our upbringing, or where we come from, or what has happened in our lives. We destroy them by the power of God in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit that floods into our lives, demolishing strongholds in our mind, demolishing emotional hurt and sorrow and pain. That's why I love singing that song that says, he's changed us from the inside out, friends. He's come into our hearts and given us a heart surgery, a new heart and a new mind, that we serve the Lord based on his power, his desire, his wisdom. He is the one that causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he moves us along. He woos us and he calls us. Amen. And he empowers us to live out this Christian life, so that we live it in a way that honors Christ, honors everything that Christ stands for, honors the truth of God's word. So we take care then how we hear. Too many people are in that tragic condition in which Jesus said, seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Is it the fault of the teacher or the preacher that you're not growing in the Lord, that you're dealing with your same problems over and over again? That you haven't matured in the grace of the Lord, that you haven't overcome that sin? Is it the teacher or the preacher? Or is it your own heart that hides in the shadows when God is saying to you, obey me, do my will, live for me? These are rough words, but James brings it. Amen? James brings it. 108 verses in James, 54 of them have an imperative command. Do this. It is a command. Amen? This is one of the commands. Be quick to listen. Keep your ear open to God's call and God's wooing on your heart and in your life. One thing you'll notice that when you give your heart to the Lord, the conviction of sin. Many people think that when they give their heart to the Lord, that everything will be rosy. Everything will be fine. And all we got to do is confess and we shall possess. We'll frame it and we'll claim it. We'll blab it and we'll grab it in Jesus' name. Usually what happens is that there is an upheaval and a turning in your heart, of your heart, that God does surgery on you and it hurts and there's a struggle and there's pain because he's ripping out what the Bible calls here the remnant of filthiness and wickedness. He's ripping that out so that he can put in his newness and his life and his spirit. And he does the ripping. And man, he is the true ripper. Amen. He gets in our hearts and he rips us apart. But he's bringing us back to this wonderful relationship of who and what God is. This is the beautiful thing about serving the Lord, is this wonder of the fact that he who began a good work in you is going to fulfill it. Amen. He's going to do it if we let him, if we're quick to listen. We snap to it and we hear his word and we hear his call. The Bible speaks about this dullness of hearing. And that's what I had when Mama called, a dullness of hearing. It got so bad that when she would call, "Danny, did you do your homework?" I would actually do this. "Ness, Ness." Can you believe the deceitfulness? I'd call up a word that sounded like yes when it wasn't yes. It was Ness. Okay? "Do you have homework? Yo." You know, yo. That's how deceitful the heart can be. Amen. And she caught on to that. And once again, we had a committal service. And the rod of correction met me face to face. Ah, dull of hearing. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 and let's read this verse. It speaks about the dullness of hearing. Start with verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. The very King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, creator of the universe, became man, and because of his humanity, he himself, who was God, learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Here it is. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles, unskilled or the word of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil." You see how it works? We're quick to listen to the word of God because we want to obey him. Many Christians that are in church today are dull of hearing. They're lying to God. They say outwardly that they want God to move in their lives, but they don't want to obey God. They know the truth of God, they hear the word of God, but they don't respond to God in obedience. Friends, I want to say something to you today. Do we still believe that sexual relationships out of marriage is sin and separates you from the heart of God? Do we still believe that? Sex before marriage breaks your communion with God, separates you from God's presence, his passion and his purpose in your life, and invites the very work and stronghold of Satan in your life. Young people, be strong and wait on the Lord. Amen. He's got plans for your life. We live in this sexual world and a sensuality that is unbelievable. God is calling young people to stand strong. Amen. Even though there's others that do it, and it seems right, and everybody says it. Every time you turn on the TV, there's a celebration of homosexuality, a celebration of sex,
a celebration of sensuality that is unbelievable. We as children of God stand strong to the word of God that says sex, sexual relationships before marriage is sin and it separates you from God. Now we're calling out the young people. Hey, if you have breath in your lungs, old man, old woman, you're still dealing with sin. Sexual relationship, no matter how old you are, outside of the bonds and the union of marriage is sin. It separates you from God. And then we wonder why God is not close. He's a holy God. We can't enter his presence with sin in our hearts and in our lives. I want to speak to you today to stand to the word of truth. Be quick to listen to the word of truth. Don't be any more dull of hearing. God is speaking to you today. God is speaking to all of us, and he's speaking to me. What I scroll on my phone, what I watch on my TV, God is calling a church that is going to be shaken, shaken from within. So all the remnant of filthiness, all the remnant of wickedness falls away, and all that's left is the word of truth and the power of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God. It stands strong. Amen. Young people, I want you to understand that God has a purpose for your life, a passion for you that far outweighs any sexual encounter that you'll ever, ever experience. For the moment, he has you for life. His goodness will satisfy you. Amen. His goodness will fulfill you. His goodness does it. What about quick to listen about gossip? Quick to listen about that resentment and unforgiveness in your heart. How about that quickness to listen about your marriage and about your dedication to your spouse that you've made a commitment to God for? Though death come, this bond of marriage will be strong. For richer or poorer, I think Steph started to cry on that line because she just, poorer, Lord, poorer? Just kidding. Friends, as a church body, we are going to stand strong on the word of truth. Are you with me on this? Amen? We're going to call out things that the world has destroyed and destroyed young people's lives by enabling them to look at the sensuality and look at the reasoning and intellectualism of their friends and of the academic world that tells you can do whatever you want to do. Listen to me now. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. Do we all agree on that? Amen? Amen? This is a tragedy and a travesty what's happened to our young people today. Before the earth was formed, God had a plan for me and a plan for you. The Bible says that the very thoughts of God were like the sands of the sea concerning your life. But then we turn that all aside for the thoughts of the world. They're filled with their own devices and intentions. God, we got to get back to the word of God. Amen. Let it whelm up within us with passion and purpose that God knew your life before time began. He had a purpose for you. It's got a passion in your heart that will outdo all of the fleshly desires for the moment. Don't take my word for it. Read the word of God. Amen. Oh, God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good. Yeah. All right. Amen. All right, let's go. Okay. All right. God is good. Can I say it without you guys say God is good? Okay. All right. That's true. To be quick to listen is not just to listen, but a keen desire to obey God through everything. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've made a decision to follow Christ. He becomes your Lord. He becomes your Savior. Your master is not your flesh. It's not your desires. It's not what you think will satisfy your heart and your life. Your commitment is to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. Whatever he says, you'll do. Whatever he wants you to be, you'll become. No matter how hard the trek, no matter the friends that you lose, you'll see the cross before you. And though none go with you, you say, I'm going to go. Because I know the life that God has for me and the purpose that God has for me, the passion of God's love and grace for your life does not compare with any kind of relationship that you have down here on earth. Marriage, friends, is an example of Christ in the church. Isn't it true? And husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And wives, respect your husband for the fact that he has to submit to laying down his life. All you got to do is respect and submit. Amen? Come on. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The church needs men and husbands to stand up and say, I will follow God and obey him to the end for what he has for me in my marriage, in my family, my workplace, to honor Christ in all things. Oh, obedience. The centerpiece of the Bible is Psalms 119, which goes on for 176 verses. And in that psalm, it extols God's word in expressing the psalmist's delight in it. We see his eagerness when he says in Psalms 119, 131, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. I longed for your word as the deer pants for the water brook. So my soul pants for the true word of God. Amen. In Psalms 19:10, David said regarding God's commandments, they are more desirable than gold. Gold. It's interesting how gold in heaven is just going to be tarmac pavement. Isn't that something? That's interesting. They are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. The Apostle Peter says, and let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And just like it says in James, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, cast away the remnant of filthiness and wickedness. Peter brings this out too. He says, so put away all malice, verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, even indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many men have grabbed their young infant child and that young infant child locked on to your nipple, man, because it was hungry and it said, I want some food. Amen. Man, I want to ask you, do you thirst after the word of God? Do you thirst after the wisdom of God? Do you thirst after the insight of God for your life? Is there a panting? Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you understand the privilege today of offering praise to our God, that our praise actually enters the very holy of holies in heaven, and God says, I accept this. Why? Because he accepted us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven us of all of our sins. The power of the Holy Spirit has come in to renew us and restore us and sanctify us every day and every hour. The Holy Spirit, and this is going to be profound, is holy. He does not play with sin. We know and understand in the Old Testament when people entered into the presence of God in the wrong fashion that was displayed in the word of God, they died. The man that was carrying the very presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, saw that it was falling. He grabbed it in the wrong way and he died. Friends, we need to live our Christian life in holiness. And that means God is going to speak to us about the filthiness and the wickedness that's in our lives. Are you hiding in a corner waiting for God to stop speaking to you? Because here's the thing. My mama didn't stop speaking. She came down and she got me. You know what happens when you don't listen to the word of God? His word becomes softer and softer. And eventually, because of your sin and deception, not wanting to hear him, his voice is null and void in your heart and in your life. Do you want to get there, friends? That's a scary position. And that's the truth. He doesn't bang you over the head. He invites you. And if you want to come to Christ, then you come and you say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to do it the world's way. I'm going to do it your way. And that way is giving up your entire life to Christ. That's all he asks of you, your entire life. And that's all that we have to give. Amen? I want you to understand, we're quick to listen to the word of God. We're slow to speak. Many times we start yapping and God just shuts up. Spend time in his presence to listen to the voice of God on how you need to obey him. Your ears might have been dull to hearing, but God wants to restore you back to a clear channel of hearing his voice, his still small voice, even in the midst of the clutter and the noise and the speculation and the argument of this world. That still small voice, he speaks to you. Amen? He speaks to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. We give you praise and adoration for who you are today. God, the thought of the fact that we who were unholy did not have a righteousness of our own to come into your presence. God, you made the way. You were the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. But you made a way for us to live this holy, blameless life. We ask you, God, to speak to us. We ask this week that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would be strong on our behalf. We need your conviction. We need you to speak into our hearts. I need you to speak into my heart, oh God, that whatever you pinpoint in our lives would give it over to you. And we'd be a people that lives in obedience to the word of truth in every facet of our lives, in our marriage, in our relationships, in our finances, in everything that we have, in our circumstances, Lord. Lord, I know this week there needs to be changes. Maybe there needs to be drastic changes in relationships and asking for forgiveness and coming to you on our knees and saying, God, I've been wrong. You've been right all along. I give you all the praise and all the adoration for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that does not condemn but embraces us and says, you are going to make it because my power is strong on your behalf. So God, mold us, shape us in holiness and in wonder of who you are today. We fall, we're weak, we're inadequate, we're insufficient. And that's why you've become our all-sufficiency. And you fill us in every way, Lord. We give you praise and adoration. Here's the beauty of it, friends. You can't make your way through. The Lord has made a way. Amen? We're going to sing this beautiful song, Waymaker. There's a way that seems right in the sight of men, leads to death. There's a way that is right, and that's the Lord's way as you yield your heart to the Lord today. Let's sing this great song, Waymaker. Amen? And let's worship the Lord in all that we are and everything that we have today.